This is WGXC 90.7 FM in the Hudson studio.
My name is Nancy Marin, and I am your host for the Social Graces program, a show about everything concerning etiquette, manners, and protocol. I am a certified etiquette instructor receiving my certification in Atlanta, Georgia, in 2005. Last month, we discussed how an employer might choose one job candidate over another with the same credentials. On last month's program, I invited Mike Flynn, Greene County Clerk, to talk about his experience with hiring employees, and we had a very interesting conversation about this process. Mike Flynn is here with me again to discuss more topics on the interview process. Hi, Mike. Thanks for being here.
Nan, thank you very much for the invitation, and I'm delighted to be back.
Thank you. I think I'm going to go over Mike's bio again. It's quite extensive and very impressive. Mike was born and raised in the Bronx, New York. He served in the U.S. Navy from 1971 to 1973, Vietnam service, 1972. He served on the USS Nitro. Thank you for your service.
Thank you, Dan.
After military service, Mike spent 25 years with the New York State Police as a trooper and BCI investigator, which is a detective, and retired in 1998. After retiring from the State Police, Mike was appointed by Governor Pataki as chief investigator with the Moreland Commission. In 1999, elected as the judge in the town of Cairo and served 8 years in that position. In 2000, Mike was appointed as the Inspector General of the Thruway Authority for 7 years. Mike is currently the elected Greene County Clerk. So we'll begin with the program now. Mike, last month we went over details about the interview process. I thought today we would go over the art of mingling and its importance in finding a job, and we are going to go over some questions that the interviewer might ask that will probe into the applicant's thoughts and ideas and hopefully get an idea of what type of applicant they are interviewing. When you go to an interview, don't forget that this interviewer has no idea of who you are, where you've been, or what type of personality that you have. They are seeing you for the first time and have a very short time to get to know you. This is why this is of the interview. This is part of the interview process, so that they can see your resume, but they're trying to figure out what type person you are. And basically, you have to get every step of the process correct in the interview process because it is so competitive in the job market today. Before we get to the importance of successful mingling, here are some questions that you may be asked at an interview. You may want to jot these down and get some thought on how you would answer these questions. They sound pretty simple, but if you think about it, if you come up against these questions, you really need to know what you're going to be saying. The first question, believe it or not, could be, tell me about yourself. It sounds simple enough, but give some thought to how you would answer this question.
Nan, that would be one of the questions you'd anticipate in an interview because of the fact that the interviewer wants to determine how you express yourself and how you logically go through the process of explaining about yourself, whether it's chronological or you deal with your talents and your background. So to have thought about that question and how you would answer that question is very, very important so that you feel confident with the answer and that you've sort of rehearsed it in advance.
And you actually asked this in your interviews.
That's correct. Many times, as you said before, the resume tells you partially about the person, but it doesn't tell you everything. And the things you would be looking for in the interview process is the types of talents or the attributes that a person has, whether they're organized, whether they are upbeat, whether they can express themselves well, and those are the things that that type of a question will bring out.
Do you have you seen before reading someone's resume that they actually put maybe a small paragraph about their hobbies or anything like that, or is that not the norm? Do they include that in the resume?
Well, the advice that a lot of people give on resumes is to keep them brief, because generally that resume will be grouped together with a substantial amount of additional resumes. So you want to get your message and your talents and your background out very succinctly. So you generally don't get very lengthy resumes at this time.
Okay. Now, this is, so I think it's very, you really have to think about this question, because, like, you could stumble over yourself if you're tricked with this question, tell me about yourself.
Well, it's true, and people have a tendency to be very shy about what they've done in the past and shy about speaking positively and sort of advertising for themselves. It's human nature to be very shy and reserved. You don't want to sound like a braggart, but that's your opportunity to speak about the things that you've done through your life.
Yes, it is a really good time to brag a little bit.
Well, people like confidence. They like friendly people. So if you... It's like giving a speech in some respects. If you do a speech and don't practice it in advance, you're pretty much doomed to failure.
Yeah.
If you have it well rehearsed and your confidence is up, and that's what the interview process has a lot to do with, is confidence. And if your confidence is up, you'll feel more natural, you'll feel better, you'll be more likable, and I think you'll have a much better interview when it's all said and done.
The next question that I'm sure is asked during many job interviews is, what are your strengths? Examples would be, I'm very good at organization, or maybe you're a great communicator, or you're a people person. They may ask you, do you work well under pressure? Are you a team player? It's hard to say, no, I'm not a team player.
Oh, no, you always want to make sure that that you understand the nature of the job that you're seeking and what the most important attributes for that job would be. Obviously, you're not going to mislead people, because that wouldn't be fair, but you always play those strengths up. And I always look at a job as a situation where both parties benefit. It's almost like a marriage.
Yes.
If both parties benefit from it, it's going to be a much better fit. You don't want to really take a job that you know you're going to hate in advance. That doesn't make a lot of sense. So if you can tailor your answers to what the employer would like to hear, that is very helpful.
So definitely these first two questions are probably going to be asked, tell me about yourself and what are your strengths? Those are pretty common questions.
They are, and how would you benefit the organization or the entity that you're hopefully being employed by?
A third question that you might be asked are, what are your weaknesses? That one's kind of tough, because you really need to be honest on this question, because everyone has weaknesses. But maybe you could say, just to be honest with the interviewer, that maybe you work better on your own versus being in a group. That would be an honest answer. But you need to be prepared to state at least one weakness that you have. You couldn't possibly say, oh, I'm fine, I have no weaknesses, because that's just not the truth.
And it's probably not what the interviewer would expect. Shyness, and many people are shy, so that's a weakness people have, but it's something that they can fix. And if you're going to bring out a situation that you're going to identify as a weakness, immediately have a course of action that will remedy that problem. So if you're shy, you're taking public speaking courses, or you're doing things to correct those shortfalls, so to speak.
On shyness, Toastmasters would be a great place to go to get training on that. And is it Dale Carnegie, or that gives you it gets you over your shyness where you can't speak in front of people?
Well, many times I think you could try to speak publicly in front of your family, to do some
public
speaking.
That's a good idea.
And you'll improve your ability to do those things as you go along and work your way up sort of up the channel as you can.
We were laughing on the way over to the show today saying, you know, what are your weaknesses? And you would never want to say, I tend to be tardy, or I don't bathe often. You know, it is a hard question, so you do need to be prepared, in case they ask that, to have at least one weakness.
Well, one thing that I've found is that there are many, many books that are written about job interviews, and to read up on that subject would be very important to do before you started pursuing some job opportunities. I've found that the Dummies books, the Interviews for Dummies, and are generally well written. They're fairly inexpensive to buy. They're well laid out, and I think they're very relevant. So, you know, picking up a book like that would be helpful because they cover all the topics that we've been discussing, and they'll give you some insight as to what you should know before you go into that job interview, because we're not going to even cover every topic here in this particular program.
The fourth question would be, what attracted you to this company? And that they will probably ask that too. And of course, you need a job or a new job, so you would never reply to this question by saying, well, I need a job and you were hiring. That's not what you would say. You need to answer this question with some positive aspects of the company.
Well, I found that that if it's a corporation, they'll generally have a website. And if you do go on to the company's website, it'll tell you a lot about the background of the company, how old it is, when it was formed. Lots of times they'll talk about their mission statement, where they want to go. You'll know more about their products. It's just amazing the wealth of knowledge that you can get out of a website. And if you take that information and discuss it during the job interview, the interviewer will probably be more or less impressed by the fact that you know a lot about their company.
I would think so, yes. That would be impressive.
It's that extra effort that you need to utilize to impress the interviewer. Unfortunately, there are more applicants than there are jobs, so you have to be right on top of the game, I'd say.
Mm-hmm. Another question that the interviewer may ask, or it may be on your resume, you may have that on your resume or on the job application if you have to fill one out. They may ask, and I'm sure they probably will, what was your former employer, but how long have you been unemployed? And the interviewer may ask, what have you been doing during that time? And I think it's really important that you stay busy. You would never want to say, I really haven't been doing anything. I've, you know, just been looking for a job. It would be much better to tell them that while you have been unemployed and searching for a job, that you've spent time volunteering. This is to prove to the interviewer that you've stayed occupied, active, and busy. This is also a big plus. There is also a big plus to volunteering while you are looking for a job, because volunteering will get you out of the house and meeting new people. New people know other people that you don't know, and the more people that you know, the better chance you have of finding a job.
Oh, there's no doubt about it, Nan. If you have the misfortune of losing a position for whatever reason, to fill that time is very important for yourself and for the interview as well. If there are educational classes that you can take, the college has adult education classes. Some of them are very, very reasonable, so it's not like you're paying college tuition to take these classes, but they keep your mind sharp. They show that you're continuing to increase your skill sets, and volunteering is, although you're not being paid for it, is a job. And you get an opportunity to to do things that you normally wouldn't do. You meet a tremendous amount of people, and exposure is what it's all about.
That's
because
right.
When you expose yourself to other people, you're not only exposing yourself to the people that you're volunteering with. They speak about you to their friends, particularly if you're doing a very good job. They're going to say, "We just got a tremendous new person, and they're doing just a great job." And that second or third person may be the one who may be looking for a new staff person.
Exactly. That's right on that, because you can't stay in your house all day. You need to get out and be active and be among other people, and that. That actually may be the way that you find another job.
I think it creates a situation where you're more upbeat. If you're at home and thinking about your the unfortunate fate that you may have at that moment, that's not good for your the way you express yourself and projecting a positive image to the people that you're going to be working with.
You know, your thought on going back to school, maybe a couple of classes here or there. I know Columbia Green Community College has night classes. They are not expensive. You can almost learn anything you want to know there. It's a really nice resource for us here in Green County.
The college does a wonderful job. I've taken non-credit courses over at the school many times through the years. I've found them to be very helpful. You again have more exposure because you're meeting your classmates, and they may conceivably be an opportunity as far as employment's concerned.
Well, and whatever classes you may take that may pertain to the business that you're trying to get into, you can talk about that to the interviewer. I just completed a course on accounting or whatever it may be, to just another feather in your cap toward getting that job.
It shows that you have vitality.
Yes, and you're ambitious.
Correct.
Another thing some people could do that can't find a permanent job is take a temporary job. Even if it's a temporary job it's not even in your field, but it's something, again, to get you out there. It's temporary until you find a full-time position. You'll get paid even though this is not your ideal job. You'll meet new people, and those people know people, and it's all about connections.
Oh, I absolutely agree. And it shows that certain levels of work are not beneath you, and that speaks a lot about your character.
Yes, it sure does, because, you know, a lot of people that maybe have been laid off or let go, finding a temporary job in maybe even a totally new field is better than nothing.
That's correct, and for the young people in the audience, many times people think that people engineer their careers, and that they knew what they wanted to be from the very onset, and they made that happen. But believe it or not, most people become a victim of a particular incident. You know, all of a sudden an opportunity rises, they take advantage of it, and it sets a career path, and that's how it ends up happening, rather than them knowing in advance that that's what they wanted to do. It happens more that way, I would say, than having it engineered for yourself.
Well, I think we've probably all had twists and turns in our employment, and you just never know what leads next, what's coming next. So if you get a job offer, maybe you should consider taking it, even though it's not in your chosen career path.
Yes, because you never know. Things are spontaneous, and spontaneity is sometimes better than a long-term plan.
And, you know, I made a note to myself about not underestimating the power of a positive attitude. We can't stress that enough in a job interview.
Well, if you think of the people that you meet and the people that you'd like to be your friend, generally it's somebody that's upbeat, somebody who's not negative, somebody that is always looking for the brighter side of things. So if we gravitate to that type of an individual, That's the type of individual we'd like to be, so people would gravitate towards us. So a positive attitude is very, very important.
And I think that the interviewer can feel the vibes off of the applicant.
Oh, yes. To be likable, to be energetic, and to be positive, you can't substitute that. And that's significantly what the purpose of the interview is all about.
And I guess if you've gotten your foot in the door to get an interview, you should be feeling upbeat anyway.
Absolutely.
So I guess that's enough on that topic. I'm not that great at mingling. It's not just a lack of confidence. You can have confidence and still not be that great at walking into a room, and you really don't know a soul standing there, and it can be very intimidating, and you don't want to just barge into this three or four people talking, and you kind of just barge in on their conversation. But there are ways to get into that little group and start a conversation and be part of the conversation. So we are now going to talk about the art of mingling and the importance of mingling. Some people are very good at mingling. They seem to have been born with mingling skills and know how to work a room. I know a few people like that, that just they have confidence. They're not afraid to walk up to someone and hold out their hand and say, "Hi, I'm, you know, Joe Blow. I work for the blah blah company." But the majority of people do struggle at making introductions and working around a crowd. But again, it's another skill that can be learned.
I agree with you. When you enter a party or a function where there are groups of people standing around, to have that smile and walk up and introduce yourself is a very important thing, because people are just about as curious about you as generally you are about them. If they think that you're approachable and likable, that's sets a stage where you can get a chance to understand what that group is about. It's a balance issue. You have to be very careful. Just because you walk into a group conversation, don't take over. Many times it's much better to listen and find out what's being said. And if you can contribute, that's fine. But just to be involved and to introduce yourself, and people will ask you the questions as it goes along. And it's much simpler than it appears to be, and less intimidating as well.
Well, we're back to the mingling. These are connections that you need to have. So anytime you're invited to anything where there's going to be a group of people, you never know who you're going to meet. And you have to get out there and mingle around. And I've written down some tips on to help you learn how to mingle. And we'll see what you think about these, Mike. The first thing you want to do is convey that you are both confident and approachable. You don't want to, you know, some people have that air about them. They may be as nice as they could be, but they have this air about them that you get a vibe not to approach them. So you have to be cognizant of your aura that you have around you. And being confident is not simply, it doesn't mean you're snotty or snobbish either. Confidence is, there's a fine line there, confident and being snobby.
Oh, it's a balance, as we spoke about. When you need to be centrally located within a group of people or in a room, to stand in a corner and not smile is probably not going to get you very far as an opportunity to speak to anyone. So to have an approachable smile and to gesture to put your hand out to somebody to introduce yourself, the rest of it will flow by itself. It's just creating an aura where people want to speak with you.
And you know, you have to look like that you're open and friendly to all, not just certain people in the room, but to everyone in the room.
And I agree. Everybody in the room is an important person.
Yes, because you don't really know who they are.
No, and after a while, once you get past, if you're shy about it, once you get past it, it becomes a lot of fun because people are interesting, and if you're a people person, you just love to hear what their experiences are, what they're like, and it's a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun. So when you enter a room, let's say you're a little bit late and you're walking in and everyone's talking already, you casually scan the crowd and you smile warmingly at anyone who makes eye contact with you.
Exactly.
There's your first open door right there.
And generally people will, if they're good at mingling as well, they'll introduce you to the balance of the group and you're off to the races.
Yes, and if you see a group of people talking and want to kind of join in, you can, you know, get into the circle a little bit, listen, look at the person that's talking eye to eye, smile a little bit, and then maybe your turn will come to add your thoughts to the conversation that they're having. And you have to, even if you don't know a single soul in the room, act like you have all the time in the world and that there's nowhere else you'd rather be is right there. That they need to feel that too, that you're not just busily going through there trying to meet a certain person.
And Nan, you brought up a very important point, and that's eye contact. If you're engaged in a conversation, maintain that eye contact with that person until that conversation's over and not look someplace else in the room. I've always found that to be very disarming when
yes,
someone does
is.
That to me.
Yeah. And you can tell,
yes,
too.
You can. It's you're just
noticeable.
They're wasting time, so to
yes.
speak.
We're about to the end of the show. I did want to say that if anyone out there listening has a topic that they would like to suggest that I have a show for, please email me at nan@wgxc.org. Thank you very much for listening, and I'll see you next month.
Not yet.